Our first speaker is Nancy Hardiman. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Nancy Hardiman. I live at 1820 Greystone in Bryan. My husband, Ben Hardiman, who would have been here speaking tonight, was injured in a fall on Sunday and has asked me to speak on his behalf. When the Partners for Better Bryan began the idea of petitioning for a change in the way council members were elected, our goal was to make each council member accountable to the entire city of Bryan and not just to his or her district. When one of the council members stated that he would not vote for anything that did not benefit his district, and he started his career on the council by demanding that the city fill all of his items on his wish list, it became obvious that some action was needed to be taken. Just because you don't like an individual's actions, though, does not mean that you don't like their race. There are people of all races whose actions we don't particularly like, some of whom are here. But that doesn't make us racist. However, when the editorial director of the Eagle and a former council member immediately started playing the race card, the discussion turned rather ugly and mean. The focus came off the idea of improving the voting situation that was currently in districts 1 and 2, and in fact, in all districts, and allowed some angry and disgruntled people to express their dislike for the city of Bryan and for everyone who represents it. This effort was never intended, and there is never any basis for construing this effort as a racial or ethnic issue. We are very respectful of the dozens of previous minority council members and what they accomplished during their terms for the city. However, we are appalled that certain council members have denigrated their predecessors and allowed others to do the same in their name. Editorial comments that appeared in the Eagle and some of the letters and in a guest editorial this week have ridiculed and insulted the minority council members whose service has led to many of the good works that have taken place in Districts 1 and 2. City council members are elected to serve the city, to make financial decisions, and to consider long-term plans that they may not actually be in office long enough to see come to fruition. To be a good council member, he or she needs to have maturity, work experience, good judgment, and the ability to work with others. It has nothing to do with race and ethnicity, and everything to do with being willing to realize that this sandbox does not belong to you. That's why we ask the council to remove this petition. For the time being, we're going to continue gathering signatures, but our efforts in gathering those signatures will be based on the willingness of those certain council members from Districts 1 and 2 to work with the others on this council. Everyone up here has been elected. Everyone up here was chosen by the people in their own neighborhood, and they all deserve your respect, and they all deserve your consideration. Our city's future is much too important for everyone here to refuse to work together. I apologize for the fact that I do need to leave. I won't be able to hear the other comments. My husband is not able to get out of bed by himself, and so I need to go back home. Thank you very much. I'm finished. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
And thank you for considering this.
Okay, the next stack that I have here is in regards to item number 12. So if I'll call your name. If you would like to talk, you're welcome to come forward. If you want to pass, just let me know. I know a few of you have left already, but we'll go through this list here. First speaker, Joseph Rodriguez.
Yeah, no.
Jody?
He's outside.
Okay, all right. Karen Hall. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Karen Hall, 5918 Highway 21 East. Mayor, council members, thank you for this opportunity to speak. Even though you've pulled the agenda item, I'd still like to say a few words. The fact that you would even consider that proposed a charter amendment to dilute the minority residents of Districts 1 and 2 to select those who represent them is very disturbing. Make no mistake, everyone here understands this is in retaliation for two council members who dared to ask for equal services for their respective districts. It is sad that there is so much darkness in your hearts. Your stance on this issue is a true statement of your character and an expression of your Christian values. Everyone who has taken time to come here tonight, and there are many, they are still here, and everyone across the city who is following this issue will continue to bear silent witness to what's going on. There is an old saying that the right thing and the hard thing is usually the same thing. When this comes up in the future, I hope you will think about this very seriously, and it will be time to man up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Greg Rodriguez. Greg Rodriguez. Ken Meyer. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ken Meyer. I live at 307 South Coulter Drive in Bryan. I'm a distinguished professor of political science at Texas A&M University. And I'm actually here initially to speak on the Proposition 12, but since that's not being considered, I'm here to offer you my expertise. I have published more work on the impact of electoral structures on who gets elected and the outcomes of those things in terms of services, quality of life and citizens, and virtually every aspect of that. This research record goes back a full 40 years and has been published in the best journals refereed in political science. I would be very happy to volunteer my expertise to the city of Bryan for this issue. Thank you very much.
Could you leave?
Thank you, sir.
Could staff get his contact information?
Is it on the
just address?
Would you mind leaving your number with staff, sir, with the city secretary?
No problem.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Kathy Cordova. Please state your name and address for the record.
Kathy Cordova, 2106 Wilkes Street in Bryan. I'm also here to speak on the agenda item that was pulled. I just want to say that I reside in District 2, and I'm a registered voter. I'm a mother of three children. I work at Texas A&M full-time. I voted for Rafael Pena to represent my district. I think it's important that each district vote for their own representative as the system was set up initially, or I don't know if that was an initial thing, but I think that it works well and I think it should continue. I feel that I considered age, I considered experience, I considered some of the things that were addressed by the first speaker tonight, and I still voted for Rafael. That's what my choice was, and I think that if that was wrong, then the majority of District 2 is what's being judged here, not necessarily the representative, but the people that voted for that representative. That's how I feel. So I just wanted to come here and offer my support for the system as is, each district voting for its own representative for city council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker is William Kirkendall.
My name is William Kirkendall. I live at 1205 Saul Ross in Bryan. I'm here to speak in opposition to the petition and the proposed change in voting rules. I'm not in District 1 or 2, but I have strong feelings about what's fair. But I'd like to just for the public record, I'd like to read just one paragraph out of a letter written by James C. Harrington, director of Texas Civil Rights Project. Mr. Harrington says that and this was addressed to the members of the City Council and the mayor. Here's from his letter. I quote, "I truly hope the council does not move forward with this ill-conceived plan. However, if it does, I can assure you that our office, along with the group of voting rights attorneys we have assembled to be on watch for such efforts, will be ready to pursue litigation to prevent this de facto attempt to undo the progress made for Bryan through the Voting Rights Act." Signed, James C. Harrington. I would like to also say that I strongly agree with what the editorial piece in the Eagle that appeared yesterday. I went through and I read the comments very carefully. And it turns out that out of 10 commenters, some of them commented several times, but out of the 10, eight of them agreed with the Eagles' editorial position. Two of them disagreed. There was a third one that disagreed, but his posting was so despicable the Eagle had to remove it from the paper or from the website. The other op-ed piece by Peter Wynn was also excellent, entitled "Bryan Council Majority Working Against Minorities." There were 12 commenters that posted in response to that op-ed piece. 10 of them agreed with the author, and one disagreed. 10-1 for the people that took the time to comment about whether this is right or wrong. 10 said it's the wrong thing to do. Yesterday, KBTX did a poll, and they asked a question: should residents be allowed to vote for city council members who don't live in their district? They got 275 responses. The responses were no, they should not vote for people who don't, for council members who don't live in their district. And the margin was 3-1. I appreciate the time, and I hope that you all give this careful consideration and do the right thing.
Next speaker is Roy Flores.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I was waiting back over there. Roy Flores, 4609 Kensington. I'd first like to say, Mr. Gutierrez, I believe in his right to have a voice. I believe in America to give people the right to have their First Amendment speech. And that's very important. As you can see here tonight, there are a lot of people that want their voices heard. I would like to see this council, hopefully, working together with Districts 1 and 2 to perform things that haven't been done in this community for a very long time. We need parks. We need streets, we need lighting, and we need sidewalks. And we need a pool over here in District 1 for sure. District 2. For years, these areas have been ignored by previous councils and this council as well. And I guess I'm optimistic. I'm hoping that we can put this behind us and that we can work together as citizens, as council members, for the betterment of all of Bryan, not just the east side or south side of town. Let's see about putting some infrastructure over here to the poorer sides of town so we can generate investment, so we can get growth, to bring in more revenue to our community, to make it easier on all of us. I would also like to see the mayor working with District 2's representative for the new Blinn school. I mean, it is in his district. I would like to see the entire council working together with that and giving him the information so he can help you to make these moves that need to be made. I should appreciate your time and the work that you do. It's hard work. And thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, sir. Big speaker, Lloyd Joyce.
I'm Lloyd Joyce. 3924 Park Meadow, Bryan, Texas. You know, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. A change as to how we elect our leaders rises to the occasion to me that it's a time to speak. Now, change can be good and change can be bad. In the past 50 years, three beneficial and progressive changes have been made as to how we elect our leaders. After the council appointed committees studied, listened to citizens, and then it was approved by the voters three times in 50 years. The present system now in place went through this same process in 1993. Now I visited with two people who served on that committee, and they simply cannot believe that you're even considering doing this. It's beyond their belief. Now, I would ask the question, what is the motive to change this system of voters electing their own representatives for their own area? I was here to ask that you reject this request and send it back to the partners of Bryan, and I'm glad that that's happened. But I do feel like, since I'm here to speak, that as a citizen, that I should caution you as to the possible serious legal challenge to this issue. Now, three well-known and respected Bryan attorneys, including a distinguished judge, tell me that the legality of this petition is highly questionable and could cost the Bryan taxpayers many, many dollars. And I think that's something that you as our elected people must take seriously, and I know you will. This change could potentially divide our city. It might take years to heal. I ask that you to please do not let personal differences cloud your judgment. We all do things sometime in the heat of battle where we get angry with each other, but you're bigger people than that. That's why we elected you. Let those things not stay with you. Elected officials come and go, but this law that you may put in may last a long, long time. So I thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your work. I hope that you'll study this issue very carefully. Thank you.
Next speakers are McCauley. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Irma Cawley. I live at 2108 Chase Circle. 3 minutes is gone already. My name is Irma Cawley, and I live at 2108 Chase Circle. I came, first of all, I must say it is an honor to address you, our Bryan City Council members. I respect the work that you do, and I am a citizen of Bryan and very concerned about the item that was taken off of the agenda number 12. Speaking of single-member districts, if you will recall, Mrs. Hardiman, if she's still here, my husband, the late Kerry Cawley, Jr., worked tirelessly for years to ensure that all of Bryan would be represented on this council. And the single-member district encourages that. It encourages a better connection between the constituents and the representative. The single-member district increases accountability. The single-member district is the most common type of election in the United States. This is not new. We of Bryan boast of over 140 years of rich, dynamic history. But the citizens of District 1 and 2 have less than 20 years of experience in voting in single-member districts. It took years to get single-member districts enacted. Now, you propose to wipe out the progress we have made. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. Single-member district voting systems offer the opportunity for all areas of the city to be represented. Is it not a right that all of our citizens of Bryan, Texas be represented, respected, and heard? How can you boast of being great when only a portion of our city's issues are heard and considered valuable? Council members, we are truly great when all segments of our community are represented by their choices. There is a great opportunity for our communities and our city to move forward in unity. Remember, keep Bryan moving forward. That was your motto. It's a great soundbite. Was it rhetoric, or did you mean that?
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Larry Gilbert. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Larry Gilbert.
My name is Larry Gilbert. I reside at 2902 Highway 21 West. And I'm here tonight for number 12 item. I'm not a real good speaker, but I know right from wrong. And I know bringing this to the agenda is wrong. I have a paper here that says, share the good life. Volunteer, you'll see me on the top row. And I'm here tonight to volunteer. I'm asking the council to forget about that. Let's do something positive, like help our community to provide us a pool, parking spaces that's scary, and a walking trail. We've been here asking you guys this for the last 7 or 8 years. Nothing happened. But now, seems like y'all want to take our right away from voting. Now, this says share the good life. Can I have the opportunity to share the good life? You guys don't have no problem when I pay my taxes. Now, I'm here tonight. We have a councilman, Mr. Pena, is working real hard to help our community. And look what you got to go through. How long have we been going through this, saying no, if we want a pool, no? That's been 4 years ago. What about parking? You guys rent us a pavilion that has 45 to 50 people in only 8 parking spaces. Mr. Pena, I'm here tonight to let you know I was contacted by an attorney in Houston. He's willing to give some property to make this happen. How long is we going to have to wait? Another 10 years? Hey, I'm asking y'all to pull the report from Easter, this last Easter, and the Easter before that, and see how many citations was given out by the Bryan Police Department. Is that fair? Y'all rent us a pavilion for 40 to 50 people, then we go down there and get citations? Mr. Pena, we voted you in. I know you get tired of all the phone calls, but we think you are doing a wonderful job. Keep up the good work. We need your help. Mayor, we need you to get in there and support Mr. Pena. He's bringing you what we want. Thank you for allowing us to talk. And my picture's on this thing. Can I please enjoy the good life? Tell him.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker, Armando Alonso. Sharon Anderson.
Good evening. I'm Sharon Anderson. I live at 2304 Cindy Lane in Bryan in single member District 5. Previously, a group of citizens wanted a charter amendment on ethics policy for Bryan to be voted on in the November election. Councilmember Sines and Councilmember Pena asked that this request be considered by all of council. The majority of council decided that it would not be put on the ballot. The only recourse left this group of citizens was to acquire the needed number of registered voter signatures to force this charter amendment to be on the November ballot and leave it to the voters to decide. We are here tonight because a different group of citizens wants a charter amendment to be considered by the voters this November. This amendment concerns how and who can vote on a representative for council. Mayor Bianski and Councilmember Hughes have asked council to consider this. If the first group of citizens had to get the required number of voter signatures to put this amendment on the ballot, then so should the second group of citizens. It's not just a question of fairness. To ask one group to jump through hoops and the other not to is just bad governance. So you cannot know how pleased I am that the second group of citizens have decided to go through on their own the same process that the first group did and garner the required number of signatures to see it put on a ballot and let the voters decide. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Isaac Butler, Jr. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, sir.
Name is Isaac Butler, Jr. I live at 1449 Cedar Crest Lane, Bryan, Texas. I came here to speak on item number 12 that had been pulled from the agenda. I probably could have lived anywhere in my precinct, in precinct 4, in district 1 or 2, but I chose to move over there off of Beck Street, what old Ridgedale used to be. It's an honor for anybody to run for elected office. That take courage to do that. And I praise the young people that did run for those positions. We all have to take everybody feeling in. Our opinions is always different. We all have a different outlook on life, but to take away a district where people are being represented, sometimes people don't understand if they hadn't grew up in a certain way and come up to a struggle through their life. But I'm glad it was taken off. But I think if we all sit down and just think a while, because we all think different, and sometimes we think a way, and it should be a different way, but it may come out wrong. But I think for the show of people here tonight, I think they're in all agreement that sometimes we elect people. It may not be the people that we want in the office, but they're there, then they're going to represent us. And I got full confidence in the people that is in that position now. We all have to learn the position we in, because we all of us don't have the knowledge, even if we elected to any position. You have to grow into that position and learn. And I know some of y'all first time as council member, you was just plumb lost. You had to lean to your left or to your right to get advice from somebody. So now you take that consideration to the other people that done got elected. They have to lean to the left and right and get advice from somebody else that got more experience. And once they got that experience, they can do a job just as good as anybody else. It's all in confidence. And if they didn't have confidence in the first place, they never would have ran. So I think whatever in place now is the best system in the world here today, because everybody will be represented. I thank you for letting me speak, and I wish when you leave here tonight, go home and just think one-on-one and just sit in the corner and say, "Is I'm making the right choice." Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next speaker is Mike Sutherland. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mayor, Council, City Manager, City Attorney, and City Secretary, Mike Sutherland. I reside at 341 Parkway Terrace in Bryan for the last 30 years. I'm here to address the pulled item number 12. I'd hoped to hear y'all explain the purpose of this charter amendment, but I guess we're not going to hear that tonight, maybe later on, because it's going to come back to you if they get the 1,400 required votes. Because the mayor has 5 votes now on every issue, and it only takes 4 votes to win, and I can't see that having 7 votes will increase the power or the control by the mayor. Through May of this year, College Station has permitted 379 single-family homes. I don't know how many of you knew that. Bryan's only permitted 104. This action will only deepen this disparity of people selecting College Station over Bryan. Bobby Gutierrez, who's here tonight, said it's not fair for a few voters to elect a representative whose council vote has the same weight as someone elected with thousands of votes. However, the U.S. senators are elected in that very same way. The senators are elected by a popular vote from their district, and the senators cast votes in the Senate that are equal weighted. But there's a great difference in the numbers of citizens that vote in each state election. For instance, in Wyoming, they voted 249,000 people in 2012. And using Mr. Gutierrez's logic, if you consider the number of people vote that cast a vote for a senator, since Texas cast 7.9 million votes, then we ought to elect Wyoming senators. However, it's worse than that because California voted 13 million people. They ought to elect our senators if you use this logic. This amendment also places a higher financial burden on the candidates and their supporters because without deep pockets, it's going to be difficult to win, and I know from experience, it's going to be difficult to win a citywide election. It's also clear that the city will open itself up to lawsuits and ones that are very expensive and a burden on the taxpayers for years to come. This proposed charter amendment, as written, absolutely is discriminatory by voter dilution, and that's in Section 2 of the law. But since Section 5 of the Voter Rights Act has been repealed, which allowed you to send your voting clearance stuff to the Justice Department to get pre-clearance, you open yourself up to lawsuits from people all over the country, not just from the Justice Department. Not only will the city open itself up, but the circulators of the petition will also open themselves up to lawsuits. And that's expensive. A report that I just got from the Brennan Center for Justice issued the following statement. The total cost of these lawsuits will be substantial. As a point of reference, 3 lawyers who participated in a Texas photo ID clearance case in 2012 sought $350,000 for 3 lawyers for their expenses. The expenses for the current Texas photo ID lawsuit are expected to be in the millions. So please vote to have the Citizens Amendment be reviewed by the Justice Department before it comes back here, because if they get the 1,400 votes, it has to come back here, and you have to take action. Thank you for your service. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Andy Herrera.
My name is Anastasio Andy Herrera. I live at 715 South Ennis. I've lived there for quite a while. I was the first elected Spanish or Mexican-American councilman back in 1969. And one thing that I'm opposed to this proposition is because it seems like y'all want to go back to pre-1969. That's where they're located, where the big fat cats were the only ones that got elected. And this is what you're trying to do with this proposal. You're going to pick out your fat cat you want, and you're going to elect him if you do it this way. And you're going back in time, back in space, instead of going forward, like my friend said a while ago. Let's move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Helen Chavarria. Carolyn Buckley.
Thank you. Carolyn Buckley, 3908 Bravo Court, Austin's Estates. We moved here in November of 07, and we've experienced something that I hope nobody else can experience, of where we bought to live. There's a dictatorship here in this town. I was real estate 12 years in Temple, Texas. We lived in Ohio. I've explained to y'all about that before, and in Kansas. And I'm very sad being a Texan, born and raised in Houston, to see you are our council person, Bienski, you are our council person, Condola. And I cannot say anything good.
Please, no personal attacks, ma'am.
I know, but the truth is the truth, and I stand on the truth. My almighty God tells me to do so. I stand with these people that have come before you to say, this is wrong. This is a dictatorship. Thank you.
Peter Witt.
Peter Witt, 1604 Carter Creek, Bryan. The mayor and other members of the Bryan City Council and a small number of community members are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act by supporting a petition that would successfully disenfranchise Districts 1 and 2 citizens from being heard on the council unless their voices were approved by all the citizens of Bryan. The council was proposing a ballot issue seemingly because a 5-2 majority is not enough for them on issues before the council. And in the last election, their two hand-picked candidates lost to members preferred by citizens of Council Districts 1 and 2. The majority council members seemed tired of the questioning by minority members of the council of their policies and practices. Their solution? Stack the deck. So only council-approved and sponsored candidates will win elections, and you can just thus achieve a 7-0 vote with less oppositional questioning. The last time this issue arose, the council even tried to silence a former member of council by changing how many council members could put an issue on the council agenda. One can only conclude that the mayor and others don't like to be questioned. Thus, a petition will be circulating, appealing to the white community in Bryan to help stifle dissent or, as they put it, elect better candidates. They've also started a smear campaign about one of the out-of-step council members elected over a mayor-endorsed candidate. In essence, some dislike the results of letting council districts 1 and 2 residents vote for their own representatives, and now argue that everyone in the city should vote on who represents each council district. This is bad public policy, probably illegal, at a minimum divisive, and a waste of everyone's time. I urge the council members not to support a charter revision amendment on this topic. I'm appalled how personal this has been stated by Mrs. Hardiman sponsoring of the proposed amendment about one particular member of council. We would change everything over an individual who will stand for re-election at some point in the future. And now she threatens the council member if he doesn't reform, they'll move ahead with the petition. This issue is not about Mr. Pena. Thank you.
Next speaker is Anita Romay. Anita Romay.
My name is Anita Ramey. I live at 508 East Pease in Bryan. In a press release to the Eagle, Partners for a Better Bryan PAC is quoted as saying, being legally qualified to run for and serve on council does not necessarily mean a candidate will make good decisions that are best for the city of Bryan. I cannot take issue with this statement, but it is a responsibility of those who elect candidates to select someone who represents their best interests over one who represents special interests. I can take issue with some of the decisions made by this council over the past few years. One would be the Gunderson fiasco and the loss of quite a bit of money for the city. Another would be the decision to back a criminal in the operation of a personal care home, in spite of the fact that an entire neighborhood knew what was going on there. And maybe the lights on College Main could have waited while sidewalks for the safety of school children were funded. When a government becomes so arrogant as to believe they are more qualified, more educated, and therefore better than a group of citizens, the government becomes dangerous. I urge you to vote in the future against putting this charter amendment to disenfranchise hundreds of voters on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is John McBride. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record.
My name is John McBride. I live at 1143 Stanley Trail, Bryan, Texas, 77807. I had to prepare a speech, but it seemed to be covered by all the speakers that have came before me. So the only thing I can add is that District 1, where I own property, I'm very proud of the representation that's been happening with my councilman, Mr. Councilman Rafael Pina. And this proposal to amend the charter that was created by the fathers of Bryan, Texas is a great charter. And it should not be amended. It shouldn't be messed with. What they say in Texas here, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They also say that a president who freed American slaves, African-American slaves, he says that I forgot what he said. Hold on a minute. I'm having a senior moment here. I got a minute and 28 seconds. This is very important. I know this is coming off comical. Oh, he said, you can fool some of the people sometimes, but not all of the people all the time, unquote. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Kevin Davenport, please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Kevin Davenport, 4611, Apartment A, North Texas Avenue, Bryan, Texas. Councilman, Ms. Mary Lynn, several years ago when I first ran for office, I was defeated by 500-something to 121. Now, I know even though that was only snatched 18% of the vote and didn't have more than two quarters to rub together, I still did what I had to do. But in the aftermath of that and the 2013 single-member election, I was approached by lawyers, clergymen, citizens both elected and non, and they impressed upon me how impressed they were that I ran a clean, dignified election. Oh, and they threw in a word that means so much but costs so little to use, integrity. Along with Mr. Pena, Mr. Stephanie, and even through the terms of Mr. Paul Madison, I sincerely believe that integrity and common sense solutions would undo the years of rank incompetence and willingness to turn a blind eye to the needs of our constituents. Yet for the past few weeks, I've been hearing rumors of plans to put the fates of districts 1 and 2 of our community in the hands of a few. Not only is this wrong, in every sense of the word, it's a naked power grab. Nobody in Copperfield cares that Sims is dilapidated or that Woodville floods in heavy rain, and nobody in districts 4 or 5 would blink an eye if you put a school smack dab in the middle of Boonville. Yet a tragedy happens or hunger strikes us and the whole city comes together. That's how citizens and leaders are supposed to act. I do believe that. But this joke of a plan that would open races to be decided by the right crowd, whatever that is, not to mention anywhere from 3,000 on up at a minimum to get the quote unquote right type of people in office. Oh, and don't forget the background and reputation besmirching laid out in the paper. That was real, real tacky. I don't know if the parties involved were reading an autobiography of Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, or the Ken Starr Report as they crafted this charter change. Bottom line, folks, is if I could be defeated by an opponent better funded than myself and only come out with maybe 750 votes between us both, and that was fine then, what changed other than a few gray hairs and a weight gain? I'm glad to see the solidarity of my fellow citizens, and I want to let y'all know something. I learned this from people who went through hell before 1964. If you don't fight, you don't get anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Helen Washington. All right. Thank you, Ms. Washington. Sandra Portzer. Sandra here. Okay. Armando Alonso. Mr. Alonso. I guess I had two here. I think you filled out two of them. I apologize. Ethan Brisby, please come forward, state your name and address for the record, please.
Ethan Brisby, 2405 Wilkes Street. Mr. Mayor, distinguished council members, I stand before you as a young man born and raised right along the East-West Martin Luther King Corridor, where so many strong and devout community leaders have had their humble beginnings. Mr. Mayor, distinguished council members, you have an opportunity within this hour that you may never have again for the rest of your life. That opportunity is to keep from scarring the American dream. 50 years ago, people that looked like me, after being beaten, hung, burned, jailed, some even having their tongue cut out for learning how to read, were able to eke out just enough of a compromise for the right to participate in America's long-tested democratic process. In theory, the choice before you, if passed, would essentially thwart your city's minority population of its power to choose. I assure you, this is not the highest and best use of your power. The people in districts 1 and 2 long for development and economic inclusion, not a political reprimand. Yes, we can make some changes politically, but we also need to invest in the delicate human capital that is untapped. There is a latent demand for economic development programming like tax allocation districts, enterprise zones, business incubators in the areas of Bryan that we're considering. Considering these types of alternatives positions Bryan to be in a position to be a vanguard for what American cities of the future can look like. As elected officials, I beseech you to place a greater emphasis on economic mobility influences, not just in your district, but especially for the least of them. The areas of our city where the undereducated, underemployed, and underserved live, work, and play. Stripping the sole power of citizens in districts 1 and 2 to elect the face, the voice, the agenda for what they see as the future of this city that we all love is not the way to solve this problem. I resolve that the economic base of districts 3, 4, and 5 cannot be what it ought to be until the economic base of districts 1 and 2 is what it ought to be. A great compromise is needed. A new deal is needed. Let's consider tax abatements for new districts and for new businesses in districts 1 and 2. Let's invest in voter educational programming in these districts. Have we considered all alternative options, including a special committee to present recommendations on issues that get to our now infamous 5-2 voter block? Mr. Mayor, distinguished members of the council, Bryan, Texas is equally balanced between good and bad. Your next move will tilt the scales. Thank you.